We greet you in the name of our precious Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read first just a short segment of a devotional that my mother had underlined and initialed. Yes, thou Lamb of God, let all witness for me that thou and thou alone art the Lord, my righteousness, and that I seek salvation in no other. Most perfectly assured from thine own Spirit's teaching that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. What love it was that brought thee down, down to the depths in which I lay, that made thee leave thy glory throne in servant's form to tread thy way. Yet lower still to death to go, that I might never judgment know. My place is now in thee above, by virtue of thy precious blood. Before my Father's face in love, made now my Father and my God. Oh, that my feeble voice might swell the praise of Him who loves so well. 'Tis love that cannot be explained. It is too wonderful, too vast. The heart of God alone contained such thoughts divine in ages past. But oh, I know it rests on me and will throughout eternity. Oh, fill me, Lord, yet more and more, so that my heart, even here below, from thy love's rich and boundless store be satisfied and overflow, full with the blessing thou hast given, the foretaste now of what makes heaven.
Let me, on behalf of the family, welcome you and say thank you for coming and sharing this time with them at this memorial service. Verda Marie Ledford Mitchell, 79, of Danville, Indiana, went to her heavenly home on Sunday, December the 6th, 2015. She was preceded in death by her husband of 61 years, Pastor John Ray Mitchell, her parents, John and Grace Ledford, and her brother, Kenneth Ledford. Verda was the mother of seven children. Stephen, his wife Kitty Mitchell of Ladysmith, Wisconsin, John Mark Mitchell of Pendleton, Indiana. Susanna, her husband Larry Dahman of Fairfield, Montana. Michael, his wife Bonnie Mitchell of Great Falls, Montana. Sarah, her husband Doug Messinger of Danville, Indiana. David, his wife Jessica Mitchell of Rochdale, Indiana. And Grace and her husband Justin Walker of Danville, Indiana, along with 26 grandchildren and 25 great-grandchildren. Verda was born in Jonesville, Virginia, on March the 5th, 1936, to John and Grace Noe Ledford. Following World War II, her family moved to Indiana. She graduated from Ben Davis High School in Indianapolis, Indiana, in 1954, and had already been married to John Mitchell back on October the 2nd, 1953. They made their home in Indiana until 1970, when they followed the leading of the Lord and moved their young family to Great Falls, Montana, to found New Covenant Baptist Church. After her husband's passing in late 2014, Verda returned to Indiana and was living here at the time of her death. Verda was a devoted mother to her children. She loved singing and playing the piano for church and was often asked to sing her favorite hymns at Bible conferences and church meetings where her husband John was preaching. She also enjoyed cooking and baking, writing and painting. She attended cosmetology school in both Indiana and later in Montana. She owned and operated Country Lane Hair Salon in Fairfield, Montana area until early 1990s. Verda will be buried next to her husband in Highland Cemetery in Great Falls, Montana. And there, the Snyder Funeral Home in Great Falls will be in charge of the arrangements. Probably most of us here today know something of the sorrow of losing one dear and precious to us. But my, when you know in your heart that one that you've lost belongs to the Lord, has been touched by God's amazing grace and drawn unto Him, given a new life, sins pardoned and forgiven. What a difference it makes, for joy just overshadows the sorrow. And the reason for that, I believe, is expressed by the psalmist when he told us, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I wonder if you might bow with me in prayer. Our Father, holy, righteous, just, and oh, so merciful. Oh, how we thank You for Your rich and free grace bestowed upon folks like us who are so unworthy. But Lord, it is because of Your rich grace that with joy we can gather here for this time of worship today to adore You and to praise You and to give You thanks for that grace and that mercy that did such a work in Verda's heart. And that grace that has now brought her to her eternal home. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord, for such goodness and such grace and such mercy. And that, Lord, because of Your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus, we can readily come and bow before You and not only be accepted into Your presence, but, Father, to be welcomed into Your presence. And so we thank You. We give You praise. We ask, Lord, now Your rich blessing upon the Word of God, as we're about to have the Word opened before us. We pray that what we hear would come to every heart in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. and would bring honor and glory to your name and magnify your Son, the Lord Jesus, our Savior. And yes, Lord, work effectually in the hearts and lives of those that have not yet had eyes open to see how desperate is the need for a sinner to find the only Savior from sin. Lord, be gracious. Bless your word today. And Father, once again, as we pray, we would pray for your great comfort, encouragement, presence with this family. Lord, help them to be looking away unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Draw each one of them near. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father. Now bless your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Bruce Crabtree is pastor over at Newcastle, and he's going to come and bring a message to us from God's word today. He's not only a dear friend of the family, but he's a brother in Christ, part of the family. And we're thankful for Brother Bruce and that he can be here today to share with us what God's placed upon his heart. Bruce, you come.
I count it a great honor to be invited to participate in this event. It's a great honor to know this family. I've counted that one of the greatest honors to know John and Verda Mitchell. And we have come here today, this afternoon, not so much to celebrate Verda's life. We really do that while we're living, don't we? And you'll think about her life in the days ahead and have precious memories. But we really come here today to celebrate her death, to celebrate her dying. And that's what I want to look at with you this morning, this afternoon, just for a few minutes. I have three texts of Scripture. If you want to remember these, they're very familiar passages of Scripture. But I want to read the first one over in Psalms chapter 116 and verse 15. Brother Wayne already referred to it, but it says this: precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's a wonderful passage, encouraging passage for the saints. And that's one of the ways here he qualifies the preciousness of a person's death is that they are his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, saint is not one who is made so after they've died, and some church canonizes them because of some miracle that's been attributed to them. That's not a saint at all. A person must be made a saint while they're in this world. If a person dies and they're not a saint, then they won't be a saint after they die. A saint is someone that the Lord of glory, the Lord of heaven, has called out of this world, called to the Lord Jesus Christ, been regenerated by His Spirit, been washed in His precious blood, someone who's been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of sin, and bondage to Satan, and translated into the dear kingdom of God's Holy Son. That's a saint. And the Scripture says here that they die. As precious and as loved as they are to the Lord Jesus Christ, they die. The death of His saints. You know, death is an awful thing in our eyes, is it not? It's a separating thing. It comes to us and separates these vital unions that we have one with another. There's some of you here today, your spouse. You've lost your husband and you've lost your wife of several years. That's what death does. It comes and it separates us. It separates a father from his children, children from their mother, a dear friend from another friend. Death is a separating thing. And you know, it separates that vital, mysterious union the soul has with the body. That union that began sometime back in the mother's womb, that union that's so mysterious, we know so little about it, the soul and the body. But when death comes, death separates that soul from the body. The body goes back to the dust, and the soul goes to its long home. But death will make that separation. Not forever, thank God, but it makes that separation. Death is a humbling thing, isn't it? We remember the time when Verda, I remember when Verda got around so well. But I tell you, aged in the process of dying will humble you. It'll take a strong body, a healthy body, and bring them down and fill them full of wrinkles and have health issues. It will continue with you to suck the strength and the beauty from our being until it's left to someone else to care for us, to wash us and move us about and change us. And finally, when we die, to bury us. Death is a humiliating thing, a dividing thing in our eyes. Even the saints are not spared this. But that's what it is in our eyes, isn't it? Death is a humiliating thing, a separating thing. And we can't help but dread it. In our eyes, it's that way. But we have to read our text again, and it says this: precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We have to look at death from another perspective, not from our perspective, not through our eyes, but the eyes of the Lord of glory. And here's what he says about his saints: their death is precious in my eyes. Now, most of us know what this word means. It means something of great value, something that's highly esteemed, something of great worth. How precious is the death of a saint in the eyes of the Lord? Is there any way that we can estimate Verda Mitchell's death in the eyes of the Lord? Well, let me offer you three quick things. In other places in the Scriptures, we're told of things that are precious. And I think if we can estimate these other things that are called precious, then it'll help us to realize how precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of Verda Mitchell. We read firstly in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, "You are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb." And I would ask you this day, what value could you put upon the blood of Jesus Christ? How precious is the blood in your estimation? There's no way we can estimate it, is there? We remember the time when we were so guilty, when we felt our hopelessness, our helplessness, and our lostness. What was it that cleansed our conscience? What was it that made us whiter than the driven snow? It was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ever since it's been revealed to your conscience, it's been precious in your sight. Has it not? If you and I can learn to estimate the death of dear Verda, we'll have to do so by estimating the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. But you know, it's not just precious in a poor believing sinner's eyes. How precious is the blood in the eyes of the Heavenly Father? How many mountain of sins has He looked over? How many sins has He forgiven? All for the sake of the blood of His dear Son. It's precious in God the Father's eyes. And secondly, there's another passage of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, and beginning in verse 2, and he says this: "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord Jesus Christ, is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Jesus Christ Himself is precious to the Heavenly Father. You know, I've often wondered what this life, and people ask this question, what's the purpose of life? What's this life all about? What's the purpose of living and dying and eternity? What's the purpose? Well, let me tell you the purpose of everything. To honor Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you had a son and he was precious to you, you know what you would do? You'd make sure his name was in the limelight. Would you not? You'd make sure he was honored by society. You'd make sure he had a great inheritance given to him. When his name was spoken of, you'd want knees to bow and tongues to confess. That's what the Father's purpose regarding his Son. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honors not the Father that sent him. God has purposed to honor and glorify his Son. In every jot, in every tittle, every bird that flies through the air, every little worm that wiggles out of its hole, every grain of sand that flies through the air, everything is for the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why? Because he's precious. He's precious to his Heavenly Father. And Peter went on to say this, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. He's precious to everybody. He's precious to the Father, he's precious to the angels, and he's precious to every believer. Since the Holy Spirit has revealed him to your heart, can you estimate him? Since he's made his merits known to you, since he's showed you that he's provided a robe to cover the shame of your nakedness, oh, he's precious, is he not? And to estimate dear Verda's death, we have to say this, how precious is the Son of God to the Father? How precious is Jesus to your heart? That's how precious Verda's death is in the eyes of the Lord. One more, and we'll go to my second text. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, Peter says this, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Precious promises. How many times have some of you been walking in darkness? I mean, you couldn't see one step in front of you. And there was but one thing that shined light upon your pathway. One light you had to get you through the valley of the shadow of death. And you know what it was? A precious promise. A precious promise. When I walk in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Oh, how many times have you sinned and you felt this guilt upon your conscience? And one thing kept you from despairing, and that was a precious promise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. These are the things we learn to estimate the death of a dear saint. These other things that are precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saint. Have you ever had a dear saint to die and you wondered what they're doing now? We wonder what Verda's doing now. How she's feeling now. But you know, here's something else to think about. She's there and she counts it a precious thing to be there. But he counts it a precious thing to have her there. She looks upon him with great delight. But he looks upon her with more delight. He is now so precious in her eyes. But she is more so in his eyes. Precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. My next passage of Scripture, and I'll hurry along, is in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. We saw a precious death, and now here's a blessed death. This is Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Blessed are the dead. Isn't the Bible a strange book? We say blessed are those who live, don't we? The Bible says blessed are those who die. The day of one's death is more blessed than the day of their birth. But here again, he qualifies this, doesn't he? He says first is saints, and now he says blessed are those who die in the Lord. In the Lord. This is the hope we have for Verda this afternoon. She died in the Lord. That's where salvation is. It's in Jesus Christ. It's not in the church. It's not in some system of theology. Salvation is not in ourselves. Salvation is not in some works we do or evil we abstain from doing. Salvation is in a person. Jesus Christ the Lord. In Christ is salvation. I don't come here this morning to tell you. This dear family is not here to tell you. We as preachers aren't here to tell anybody that Verda is blessed today because of some decision she made 40 years ago or some choice that she made by the power of her free will. She's blessed in her death because she was the object of those sovereign and free blessings of God that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Her name was put in the Lamb's Book of Life before time, and in time the Son of God took her sins and suffered for them and put them away. And in time the Holy Spirit came and effectually called her and granted her repentance, granted her faith, implanted in her heart those graces of the Holy Spirit, sealed her until the day of redemption. He blessed her. She was chosen, set apart in that eternal covenant of grace for these blessings. That's why we can come here this afternoon and rejoice. Lift up our hearts and rejoice that Verda is a blessed person because she was in Christ. In Christ. And if a person's not in Christ and they die, they're not blessed. The only safe place to be, the only place of salvation is in the Lord. Israel shall be saved in the Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ, with an everlasting salvation. If a man makes a profession to be saved and he's not, then that profession will do him no good. The only place to be saved and to be saved everlastingly. I don't want another salvation, do you? I want that salvation that's in Christ that's everlasting. They shall be saved in the Lord, worlds without end. And he says this, they shall not be confounded or ashamed. And Verda is standing before the Lord of all this earth this morning, and you know something? She's not ashamed. And she's not confounded. Not at all. Because she is in the Lord. And the scripture says here, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors. Verda's free from that warfare that you and I can't be free from in this life. The warfare with the old sinful nature. The warfare with Satan, the warfare with this world, she's delivered from all of that. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's our cry, isn't it? She's not crying that anymore. She's been delivered. And now she's resting in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Bruce, how can you be sure of this? Well, I heard a voice from heaven. Thus saith the Spirit. This is the Spirit of truth. This is why we know Verda is a blessed person. The Spirit tells us so. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. She's resting. She's resting. My last passage of Scripture is found in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21 through verse 23. Listen to this. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not. I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. We had a precious death. We had a blessed death. And now we have here a death of great gain. To die is gain. Paul desired two things here, and he said, if I obtain my desire in these two things, I'm going to consider myself a great gainer. One was to die. To depart. To die. He counted that a great gain. Oh, listen to me. Dear soul, if you're here this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not in Him, death won't be a gain to you. When people die outside Jesus Christ, death will be the greatest loss they can ever experience. They won't only lose their jobs. They won't only lose their property. They won't only lose their bodies. They'll lose their souls. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? If a man gained the whole world and lose his soul, death will mean the loss of the soul for the unbeliever. But Paul says here, it's going to be gain to me. Gain in what he lost. What will a believer lose at death? He'll lose this old body. He'll lose this old nature. When Paul was writing about his departure, he said, the time of my release is come. Release. If you were taken a prisoner of war, during the time of war, and they kept you in a prison and almost starved you to death, you weren't around the company that you loved, and finally the war ended, and they said, you're free now? You can go home? You can go back to the family? Would you count that a loss? You'd count that a gain, wouldn't you? Paul was in this awful warfare, and he said, now I'm released from it. He is in a world that hated him. He said, now, I've lost that. I've lost that world that wanted to crucify me anyway. He was free from that messenger of Satan that buffeted him. Oh, dear soul, when you come down to die, when you breathe your last breath, won't you count that gain? Yes, you will. Yes, you will. From what you've lost, I don't know how you feel, but if you feel the way I do, this world hasn't been too good to you since you came to Christ. I had a friend of mine preaching the other day, and he said, I'm not here to give you some sweet invitation. He said, I'm here to tell you this. You want trouble? You want heartaches? You want to know what it is to have heart sorrow? Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Because when you come to Him, you die to yourself. You die to this world and all of its sinful pleasures. You die to this old man that you used to follow and love. And when you die, physically, you lose all of that. Oh, what a gain. But Paul counted himself to be a great gainer because of who he would be with. And he says this, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. To be with Christ. To be with Christ. And you know the Bible knows nothing about elapsed time. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now that's something that's always been amazing to me. Because you leave this little tiny celestial ball here that we live on, and you go through the clouds, and you go through the stars, and beyond the moon, and all the planets. They've not been able to measure this universe. How can a man possibly breathe his last breath and then the very next moment be present with the Lord? That's a miracle in itself, isn't it? Heaven must be closer than we realize. Our Savior must be closer than we realize. Because when we breathe out our last breath, it's to be with Christ. This is the hope we have for Verda Mae, that she's with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. She may be sitting at His feet with Mary, reckon? Hey, I love this. I love to think about it. This is a reality. This is a gospel death. Only the gospel gives us such a hope as this. Sitting at the feet of Jesus? That may be where she's sitting. She may be higher than that. She may be with John leaning upon his breast. Reckon that's where she is? She may be even higher than that. She may be with the church of old, being kissed with the kisses of his mouth. But I tell you, she's with the Lord. She's with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the tears that we shed are not for her. If we have any tears of sorrow, it's for ourselves and our loss. But it's not for her. Hers is a great gain with Christ. Someone said, our relationship with the Lord consists of these three things. Being in Christ. That's here, isn't it? In Christ right now. Then when we breathe out our last breath, it's to be with Christ. One more stage, and that's to be like Christ. And when He comes again, John said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Oh, what will it be to be like Him? This same body that was laying here just a few minutes ago, that they're going to put back in the ground, finally decay and become dust again. That same body, not another body, but this corruptible must put on incorruption. And that body which is vile and dead and smells will be changed and fashioned like unto the glorious body of Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the gospel hope that we have. That's what it means for someone to die in the Lord. They're blessed. Precious, blessed, and a great gainer. God bless you. God bless you, children. God bless your hearts.
I was once far away from the Savior, and as vile as a sinner could be. I wondered if Christ the Redeemer would save a poor sinner like me. I wandered on in the darkness. Not a ray of light could I see. And the thought filled my heart with sadness. There's no hope for a sinner. And then in that dark, lonely hour, a voice whispered sweetly to me, saying, Christ the Redeemer has power to save a poor sinner like me. I listened, and lo, 'twas my Savior that was speaking so kindly to me. I cried, I'm the chief of the saints. like me. I then fully trusted in Jesus. And oh, what a joy came to me. My heart was filled with His praises for saving a sinner like me. No longer in darkness I'm walking, for the light is now shining on me. And now unto others I'm telling how He saved a poor sinner like me. And when life's journey is over, and I the dear Savior shall see, I'll praise Him forever and ever for saving a sinner like me.
Amen. Thank you, Jessica, for that song. Thank you, Steve, for the one you shared with us. And thank you, Bruce, for the message that God placed on your heart. The Apostle Paul did say, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Oh, that we might believe that with all our heart, and put our faith, our trust, and our hope in Him. For there is no other hope for a sinner but Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you. I just want, before we dismiss, to let the family, anyone that's a part of this family, know that a dinner has been prepared and provided and will be served in just a little while at 1500 Temple Drive here in Danville. That's at our house. And we encourage you to come and share in that time and spend time together as a family. The Lord now keep you and watch over you. And if you would, continue to pray for this family as they deal with the loss of one so dear to them over these next few days and weeks and months. So pray for them if you would. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord, can we? Our Father, once again, we bow in your presence in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And we give thanks. Thank you for this time we've been able to spend, and the time that you've given us to reflect upon such mercy and such grace shown to such unworthy sinners like us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Grant your blessing now to abide upon this family, and comfort them and strengthen them and encourage them in the days ahead. And Lord, continue to bless their witness and their testimony to the grace of God and how the Lord has worked in their hearts and lives as well. Keep us now all in your care, Father, through this day, and may we have an understanding heart that would lead us to realize that we're to live our lives for your honor and for your glory. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Lord bless you.
Folks, this now concludes the service. You may retire to your cars if you so desire to.